Just being at the airport and just coming on an airplane from the United States to Palestine is a deeply complicated, experience, where from the very moment that one goes to the airport and steps on the airplane, you feel the immense pressures of occupation and separation and disconnection and subjugation and segregation. And you can see that occupation in the service of larger imperial processes are very much infused and structure the whole experience for diasporic Palestinians all over the world. What would be just a very simple act of a diasporic Palestinian returning to his homeland, returning to his home, what could simply just be, you know, buying a plane ticket and flying into your homeland and being able to reconnect, turns into an immensely complicated process, especially for Palestinians who happen to carry citizenship, U.S. citizenship. And the concept of return, obviously, for every Palestinian is embedded in the soul of each and every one of us. And it becomes even more ironic when you think about all the difficulties that we encounter in coming to terms with taking this journey to go back home and actually being here. That once you set foot, once I set foot in Palestine, wherever it may be, I immediately feel a sense of calm and a sense of freedom that I just don't feel anywhere else. So I'm reporting from the Gaza Strip right now. I'm on Al Rashid Street, looking outside. It's raining in Gaza right now. When I look behind me, I see the Mediterranean calm. I see Palestinian fishermen who are unable to fish freely into their own waters, who have been fishing there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years and generations, and are being stopped from actually being able to connect to their, you know, historical place in terms of fishing and gathering fish from the sea to survive. There's no doubt that every step of, as I said before, that every step of the process of coming to Palestine is infused and structured by the occupation. You see formalized aspects of apartheid at every step of the way. Just landing in historic Palestine, you see the formalized apartheid as soon as you get off the plane, because they're the only people who are stopped as they are coming off the plane and going into the airport terminal are Palestinians. Palestinian men and women get stopped. They get checked as soon as they step off the airport. Then, when you go through immigration and passport control, you see the more formalized aspects of the separation and the apartheid system that the Israelis impose on us. Because Palestinians are given a special card, a special color-coded card, that as soon as we go through passport control, security will stop us. And this is what happened to me. What is the purpose of your visit to Israel is the first statement. And of course, my first comment back is always, I'm not visiting Israel, I'm coming to Palestine. This is a confrontation with occupation and resistance, and a form of resistance that shocks the security services. And of course, from there on, it's a series of questions of what are you doing here, who are you seeing, do you have relatives here, what is the purpose of your visit, showing your itinerary, where are you staying, who are, and just an endless series of questions, all of which is intended to create a psychological experience of with the essential statement saying, you are not wanted here, you are not wanted in your own home. And so we as Palestinians, or as people committed to freedom and self-determination and conscience, must in fact resist that and confront that every step of the way. The formalized aspects of the and the structured elements of occupation and colonization can be seen even as you get out of the airport. My taxi driver who took me from the airport and who drove me from the airport to the checkpoint in Gaza was a Christian Palestinian from Ramleh, who speaks three languages, who speaks Arabic, English, and Hebrew. You know, he speaks the two languages of occupation, Hebrew and English. And so this is kind of an interesting thing. It's a Palestinian Christian, number one. So, you know, this breaks down the stereotype of it being a religious confrontation here, which it obviously is not. And also speaks to the fact that this young man is also carries Israeli passport. So he's a Palestinian who carries Israeli passport, and this speaks to the complexities of the current struggle right now, because currently in what is referred to as Israel, or as we call 48 Palestine, of the 5.5 to 6 million people who have Israeli citizenship, over 20% are Palestinians, Palestinian Christian and Muslims, who happen to carry, you know, Israeli passports. This gentleman was one of them. It was quite a scene to be able to be driving through historic Palestine, with seeing, you know, Starbucks and McDonald's and Toys R Us and all the other transnational symbols and concrete realities of economic and political occupation, which was deeply disturbing, you know, for actually both of us. And as we're winding through the more urbanized centers, going into deeper into historic Palestine and on the way to Gaza, what is truly remarkable, again, as a diasporic Palestinian, is that you see all of the remains, you see many of the remains, not all, but many of the remains of the depopulated villages that that existed in Palestine, that were depopulated in 1948 and again in 1967. So you'll be driving along this way and seeing advertisements, you know, with blonde, blue-eyed men and women advertising the latest product. Truly bizarre. And then just past that billboard, you'll see a beautiful, lush, farming area with an old Palestinian home still standing there, totally depopulated. The context of apartheid and separation could no more be observed than when you finally get to the Erez crossing, which is a total militarized zone and has changed rather dramatically since I've been here last in 6 months ago, because now there are no Israeli settlers in Palestine, at least in the Gaza Strip. And the fortification of this checkpoint in Gaza to get in is very remarkable. I'm getting flashbacks of Soweto. I'm getting flashbacks of all of the apartheid-like systems that have existed and still exist in the world of separation and disconnection. To be able to go into the Gaza Strip, again, as a Palestinian, going through numerous military checks, and at the most pronounced thing, for me at least, is the presence of fences and walls throughout this process, so that in order for me to get into Gaza, I have to go through four or five different gates, very large fences. On the left side is a very, very large fence, and on the right side are this very, very large concrete wall, and it's covered by a ceiling of tin. So you're in this totally enclosed tunnel for about a mile, with many gates, fences, walls. It's truly shocking. And in the midst of walking down this tunnel, seeing birds fly inside is in a truly amazing contradiction. And for me, a more painful contradiction, as I'm walking into the Gaza Strip, I'm seeing hundreds and hundreds of Palestinians trying to get out. And these are not Palestinians who are just trying to get out for no reason. I saw hundreds of very sick Palestinians trying to get out. Old women, jaundice-looking women in wheelchairs, trying to get out. A desperate last attempt to be treated for obviously desperate medical conditions, whether it be cancer or the long-term effects of untreated diabetes or cardiovascular diseases. And just and sick children and sick babies and desperate looking Palestinians. So on the one side, and we're looking at each other, I'm the lone person trying to get into Gaza, and here you have hundreds of Palestinian families and Palestinians trying to get out, trying to get a last ditch attempt to get some medical attention to save their lives, and they have been stuck there for hours, if not days. And the enormous contradiction of me being on one side of the fence and my brothers and sisters being on the other side of the fence looking at each other. And that look and that sense of communication when you look at somebody in the eyes and you know what they're thinking and saying and feeling without a word being spoken. And then as we pass each other, greeting each other with the traditional greeting in Palestine, Salaam Alaikum, peace be upon you. Nothing could be a bigger contradiction than saying, peace be upon you, when in fact, there is no peace in Palestine right now. There is no peace in Gaza. And the occupation remains vivid, deep, strong, and bone-crushing for all Palestinians.